Greetings, and welcome to CatastropheCast.com. My name is Walter, and the subject that we're going to talk about today actually has the dubious distinction of having the greatest loss of life by far of anything that we've ever talked about here on the podcast. It happened in the late 1950s and early 1960s, but outside of its home country, it's actually not that much well-known an event. What I'm talking about, actually, is the Great Chinese Famine, or the Great Leap Forward Famine, that was ushered in by none other than Communist Chairman Mao himself. Now, let's set the stage. In Communist China, under Mao Zedong, China actually was going through a huge, huge change in their society. Mao said that China would be a full communist state after the 1949 Communist Revolution. It started, but it wasn't realized as fast as Mao wanted it to be. Then, starting in 1958, the Communist Party, in yet another change to Chinese society, decided that people could actually no longer own farms. The state did. So that was a huge thing right there. Farmers took care of their soil, and they fed the people. Well, farmers now were only there to farm. They actually did not own the land at all. And if you complained about this, well, you could be jailed or worse. So you've got people who were farmers before the 1958 policy, but suddenly weren't anymore. They didn't own their own land. What else was going on? Another policy change and a big push done by the Communist Party were that a lot of people actually were taken away from farms and told that they were going to work in factories, specifically steel factories, because that's where the money was at the time. So all these people are being taken away from farms. They're told to go work, move to the cities and work in the cities at these steel mills. So there's, of course, not enough people to actually work the soil as needed. During the same time, about 1958 to 1962, Mother Nature actually decided not to cooperate either. There were actually large areas of China that weren't getting any rain at all. They were going through a really pretty severe drought. Now you couple that with the fact that, you know, people were told that they weren't to work on farms anymore. They were going to go work in factories. Due to China's big leap forward, you know, like I said, they're to work in steel mills because that everyone knew that's where the money was going to be. And where the money was where China's future economy was going to be. So you've got no farm ownership. You've got farms not even being run at all. Or if they are being run, they're really not being run properly. You've got nobody to run the farms themselves. And then top it off with virtually no rainfall for some years. And then other years actually crippling floods. So China was going through the two extremes at once. And this basically makes for a recipe of a massive, massive famine. On top of all these issues, China also put forth the idea that the people who were farming, actually, they decided that, okay, you're going to farm this land. Well, you're going to make sure that you are going to bring forth as much crop as you can to pay, you know, to feed all your fellow citizens. And they decided, the state decided, this was actually how you're supposed to plant, not the way you've been doing it for generations and generations, but this is supposed to be much more efficient, and this is what our scientists say. So you're going to plant the way we tell you to plant. Well, it wasn't too long before farms were failing and people started starving to death. You know, those farms that were actually were working weren't even able to produce the amount of food that they were supposed to produce because some bureaucrat has come up with the proper way to plant when a farmer who's been doing it all of his life knows, well, that's not going to work, but that's what they're telling me to do. So, yeah, farms are failing and people started to starve. Now, Chinese leaders actually during this time knew what was going on, and they knew what was bad. But the thing is, they didn't want this information to get out. And you consider back in the late 1950s, the early 1960s, up until about when Nixon visited China in the 70s, China was a very, very closed society. So not much of this information actually got out. So the rest of the world probably really didn't know what was going on at the time. So when news did break within China or elsewhere in the world, the leaders actually were really quick to blame others. They reassigned the blame, or they covered up for their shortfalls, you know, from their own bad planning. They didn't want to save, or they wanted to save face. They didn't want to acknowledge that there was, you know, something bad going on as a result of the Communist Revolution. You know, these people had just come off of a successful 5-year plan after Mao had taken over after the Chinese Revolution in 1949. And they wanted to continue their success. But the thing is, it just wasn't going to work. So during the 3-year famine, China was in the worst shape ever as a country. There's actually a book on the famine called Tombstone. It was written by a former reporter, Yang Jisheng. And that book chronicles what has long been buried about the Great Famine. Jisheng tells of a village of 45 people in China where 44 people actually died as a result of the famine. And that last person alive, a 60-year-old woman, went insane. He also tells stories about where an orphan girl killed and ate her 4-year-old brother because she was starving to death. And probably one of the most disturbing things, he told a story about 1 in 8 people in an 8 million person city, the city of Henan province, or not a city, but the province of Henan. 8 million people, 1 out of every 8 people died because of the famine. If you want to quantify that, New York City today has about 8 million people. To lose 1 out of every 8 people would mean that out of the population of New York City, you would lose the entire population of San Jose, California. That is just absolutely massive. Well, what else was going on across China during this devastating period? Well, if you can imagine, during a massive famine of this scale, people were resorting to doing things like hiding and stealing food as best they could, foraging for food, smuggling it, and even cheating each other out of meals. And yes, as I alluded earlier, there was cannibalism that came up. In all, there were about 36 million people who died prematurely as a result of the famine, and another 40 million people that actually were never born in the first place because of the famine. That is 76 million people who died or were never born in the first place, all because of the Great Leap Forward that Chairman Mao decided to usher in. Thing is, Chairman Mao and his leadership team actually knew what was going on the entire time. Mao was actually quoted as saying in 1959, "When there is not enough to eat, people starve to death. It is better to let half the people die so that the other half can eat their fill." That's just disgusting. I'm sorry. I am a child of schools from the 1970s and 1980s, and of course during this time period, we all learned that China was evil because they were, you know, as to quote my 6th grade social studies teacher, China was full of godless bastards. And so, you know, China was not very well looked on. And I could see some of that politically as, you know, being from the United States. I could see that. But to hear this quote that Mao said, you know, "It's better to let half of his people die," that's just, that's just absolutely disgusting. So I get it, and everybody gets it. China needed to move forward. They were more of an agrarian society at the time, and they wanted to become a world leader. But of course, that would, you know, it would be years and years before China would actually emerge as a world leader. But the thing is, the devastating hit that it, that Chinese society took because of this communist revolution, it was pretty vile. So yes, China did start to become a world leader. And the nice thing, if there can be a nice thing coming out of this, is in the 1980s, China finally started to take somewhat a responsibility for the disaster that they themselves caused. And while, of course, there was a natural impact to this famine, historians actually agree that the famine was only 30% caused by environment. The remaining 70% actually fell squarely on the shoulders of the Communist Party itself. Records from this time have been very, very, very tight, as you can imagine, with few people actually given full access to them. One of those people was actually an author named Frank DeKutter. He wrote a book called Mao's Great Famine. And he, of course, you know, he was given mostly full access to the records of the famine. And he's one, along with author Ji Sheng, that has brought most of this to light. And it has actually been very recently. Tombstone, the book I mentioned earlier, was published in the late 2000s. And DeKutter's book, Mao's Great Famine, was actually published in 2012. Now, of course, everybody knows that China is really well censored. You know, they don't actually see what we as the, you know, in the Western world would see. And Tombstone actually, it chronicles, you know, what happened so well. But that book is not available in China. China has decided to censor it, and it's not available. So China's own people don't know, unless they lived through it, or they had relatives or friends that lived through it, really don't know their own history. Now, I want to say that it's pretty unlikely that we'll actually see something like this type of issue in our lifetimes ourselves. This is 2013, and the only thing I could actually think would be possibly if a weak African nation was taken over in a similar way like China was in 1949 and pushed beyond its limits to become a world power. I could possibly see that actually happening in that sense. But the thing is, since we're so connected, I don't think that we would actually see something, you know, like one in eight people actually dying because of the revolution. There's still a lot to learn about this Great Chinese Famine. So if you actually pick up one of these two books, Mao's Great Famine or Tombstone, they actually are both available through Amazon and iTunes. And if you actually do pick one of them up and read through it, you know, let me know what you think. I actually picked up Tombstone, and I've got a couple books I'm already reading. So when I'm done with that, I'll start reading Tombstone. I'm definitely interested in reading a lot more, because this is such a vast subject. But beyond those two books, just searching for them brought up quite a few more about the Chinese Revolution and the Great Leap Forward. So there's still a lot to learn. If you do read about it, drop me a line and let me know your thoughts. And finally, I do want to say a quick thank you to listener Rory for suggesting this topic, even though it was an epic, epic topic to try and cover. And I have not, you know, I've only scratched the surface here. If you want me to cover a topic in a future podcast, please, go ahead and let me know. You can go to catastrophecast.com, and at the top of the page, there's a link called What Do You Want to Hear? Fill out the information there, and, it'll alert me. I can work on that as a podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter. That would be awesome if you do, because I'm trying to tweet out more information, especially when new podcasts are available or other blog posts are available. Our Twitter handle is @CatastropheCast. Or, as always, if you have suggestions, feedback, or whatever, just want to say hi, you can email us at podcast@catastrophecast.com. Thanks for listening.